Let's take a trip to our nation's capital. Welcome him in. Follow him on Twitter, at David Elfin. That's E-L-F-I-N, covering the Washington sports scene and knowing it inside and out. That's why we go to him to be able to find out what's going on in D.C. David welcomes us on welcome to Fox Sports Radio. David, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing better than the Nationals are.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that in just a moment, but first and foremost, as we know, this is a country dominated by the NFL, so the burning question everybody wants to know, how is Robert Griffin III?
Well, of course, none of us have been privileged in the media to see Mr. Griffin since June. Obviously, at his wedding, he looked fine. He looked pretty good to us, really, all through the spring. They had him working on the side every day, throwing to guys who were also rehabbing. He may not necessarily be on the field for day one. I think he will be, but they're trying to be super cautious with this thing. My sense is he will be on the field, if not day one, almost all of training camp. But I don't think he'll play in preseason. I think they're going to hold him out until the regular season starts.
As we look at it, you are a Pro Football Hall of Fame selection committee member. And
yes,
we're
sir.
Getting ready to celebrate that 50th anniversary, big celebration. Can you take us in that room for a minute and go back to what was, I guess, in the media sense, a little bit controversial of the inclusion of Sapp, the exclusion of Strahan, and how heated the conversation got there?
Well, you know, we're all jealous of Michael having the morning show.
Morning show.
With Kelly Ripa, so that was what it was all about. In all seriousness.
I like that.
I wouldn't say it was really heated. I think sometimes it has been heated over, you know, does this guy deserve it? I would say over the years I've been on the committee, the most heated probably has been Paul Tagliabue. But on this one, it was more, you had two great players, and there's no doubt, I would be stunned if Michael Strahan is not inducted next year.
Okay.
And in some ways, it's better for everybody because he'll end up getting elected in New York, and it'll be a big deal next February. But you look at the two guys, and you couldn't go wrong either way. I think the thing that probably took it over the top for Sapp is that he had such a presence as a pass rusher as a defensive tackle, and there's so few guys who do that. Now, Michael Strahan was a tremendous pass rusher outside, the record and all that, Brett Favre falling down in front of him and and all that kind of stuff, but people perceive that defensive ends have a much easier time as pass rushers than defensive tackles. And so everybody remembered Sapp as a pass rushing tackle for a really good defense for a long time, put him over the top. But, you know, it was could have been a coin flip on those two guys. And as I said, with Tagliabue, he still wasn't in.
Right.
You know, that argument's happened several times in the room. This was a question of, you got to almost like pick one or the other. You don't say that, you know, we're going to put one lineman in, or, you know, three receivers or whatever it is. But in essence, they were going against each other, and Strahan's going in next year, I promise you.
David Elfin is our guest on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline. David, without giving us, without giving away like the secret handshakes and things like that, educate the NFL fans in terms of what that process is like. Give folks just kind of a 50,000-foot view of how that Hall of Fame process goes for, you know, the folks that obviously are never going to have the opportunity to be in that room. How does it go down?
How about a 20-foot view?
Okay, let's do that.
Here's the basic difference between baseball and football, because those are the two sports we really, most people care about in terms of the Hall of Fame. Baseball, 400 and some people sit in the privacy of their homes and vote online. And that's great, because a lot of people vote, and they're all educated on baseball. They've covered baseball for a number of years, et cetera, et cetera. But they don't get to hear somebody else's argument. In football, it's totally different. There are 44 of us. We get in a room at the Super Bowl site the morning before the game, and we discuss these 17 candidates, two of whom are seniors, and we basically yell at each other for 7 hours about all these guys. Now, there are a few who are just total slam dunks. You know, there's no way that when Peyton Manning comes up in a few years, you know it's not going to be much of a discussion. I remember the Reggie White discussion. Paul Domowicz from Philadelphia got up and said, "Reggie White, any questions?" and sat down. So, you know, there are guys like that. And then there are Strahan Sapp debates, and then there are guys, I presented Art Monk for 3 years. I had succeeded Lenny Shapiro in doing Art Monk's case as the Washington voter, and my third year I got Art in, but believe me, there was a lot of passion on that one for a number of years. And I think it, you know, there were a couple of things that in the room that year that finally got him over the top. And my strategy has been, and I think it's a pretty good strategy for a lot of candidates, that you don't go to the friends. In other words, if you were going to be set up on a date with someone, you really don't want to hear from this date's friends about how wonderful she is. You might want to hear from somebody a little more objective. So, for example, when I got Russ Grimm, the offensive lineman from the Redskins, in the Hall of Fame a few years ago, they have no stats. In baseball, you can quantify almost everything these days. How do you quantify an offensive lineman's worth? It's very, very difficult. So I had Bill Parcells, who's going in, and rightfully so, this summer,
right.
And Matt Millen, who played against Russ for a number of years, and Randy White, who played against Russ, say, and Harry Carson, say, this guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and that makes all the difference sometimes.
Just became a, let's go get video clips of all the guys he played against and dominated, I guess, would
well,
be the way to go.
Well, I've been in this market a long, long time, and I saw Russ's career from the start, and I knew. The only person who didn't help me was Buddy Ryan. He refused to talk.
At David Elfin on Twitter, our guest. Let's talk. Go back to the Nationals, and obviously you have a great front end of the rotation there, but the back end needing some work. How much do we see the Nationals doing as they were predicted to be the runaway winners of the division? How much can they do at the break? And what did you think of the Florida Gio Gonzalez ticket scam?
Well, first of all, on the pitching, it's been an amazing turnaround this weekend because Strasburg got hammered by the Marlins in the first inning on Friday night, his worst inning of his career, and cost them the ballgame. Last night, Dan Heron, who's been absolutely awful this season, combined with two relievers to pitch a three-hitter through eight innings, and then Soriano gives up the lead in the ninth, and they lose in the tenth, which is, I think, kind of that if you have make a synopsis of their season so far, they've been the worst fielding team, they haven't hit very well. But here's what happens when only the Nationals this year can manage to go to Florida against a really bad Marlins team who have nothing to play for, and Strasburg gets hammered, and then this guy pitches his best game of the year, and they still lose. So they're just finding themselves. They're beating themselves. Everything that could happen is happening, and I'm going to take people back a long way to the 1969 Mets, who came out of nowhere the way the Nationals did last year with Seaver and Kuzman and a guy named Gary Gentry and a kid named Nolan Ryan on the pitching staff, and the next year they weren't very good. And I'm stunned this has happened, but I've seen it before where a team comes out of nowhere and kind of gets too full of themselves, and we all think they're too good, and the next year doesn't go too well. So I don't think this franchise is in any trouble long-term, but this season, we're 95 games in almost. There's seven games behind the Braves. I just don't see them going anywhere.
How much chatter is being brought up about the decision to shut down Strasburg last year?
None, because, you look back at last season when they lost in the playoffs to the Cardinals. They didn't lose because of starting pitching. They lost because they couldn't hit, and they lost because Drew Storen, their reliever, melted down in the ninth inning against St. Louis, and that's why Soriano is here right now. So the Strasburg thing is total history. I guess if they never, if last year ends up being the only year they ever make the playoffs with this bunch of guys, it'll get a lot more attention. But right now, it's more angst about, World Series or bust in the spring training time, and they're not hitting, and they're making bad plays, and they're not coming through in the clutch, and they're doing everything possible they could do to sabotage their own season.
David Elfin's been our guest here on Fox Sports Radio, talking the sports world coming out of our nation's capital. David, thank you for the time this morning. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Thanks,
make sure
David.
You follow him on Twitter, at David Elfin. That's ELFIN. Some great news and notes coming out of Washington, D.C.